1-800-795-5753.
All right, Brother Johnny is in Houston, Texas this morning. Johnny, how are you?
We're great, Steve, down in Houston, Texas.
Mike, you in Naples?
Yeah, I'm still in Naples.
All right, how's your golf game?
It's very average.
A lot has happened this week, and a lot has happened in the last 12 hours. Let's begin with this.
We can confirm that these two brothers are believed to be Chechen. The Jokhar Tsarnaev, the man in the white hat who is believed to be on the loose or is still on the loose and believed to be armed and very dangerous. He is 19 years old. We're told from authorities that he and his brother have been in the country for more than a year. Federal authorities are looking into whether they were trained militarily. They're believed to have been trained militarily overseas.
All right, that's a report from Fox, Mike. And boy, when it comes to the Boston Marathon bombings, it's another head shaker. It's hard to put your arms around something like this.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, comprehend it. I don't know how you comprehend it. I mean, you can't figure. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, you got a random two brothers, and, you know, what their reasoning is, I don't know, or what their intent was, I don't know. But evidently, it was just to kill people.
I think it's just terrorists. The Chechens. See, those same guys took Air Force One with Ford.
Yeah, that was the movie, Air Force One. Yeah. No, you got terrorism can come from anywhere, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, someone gets a beef, Mike, and they think that they need to kill people. I don't know the connection. They get attention. I don't know.
Yeah.
And, it's pathetic, whatever it is. I think one thing you got to understand, I think our FBI or our police, the job they did. Hmm. And breaking that down and getting those videos and those pictures of those individuals, being able to identify them, is pretty amazing.
Well, think about the chaos, Johnny, Monday, and then Friday we're here. I mean, it is remarkable to sort it out, to put the images. Once you put images out these days, where are you going to go?
Well, I think the other thing, too, is, and it's a shame, you know, innocent people of us have to die, but when everybody's pulling the same direction, Mike, we're all on the same page, we all want to accomplish something, look what we can do. I mean,
absolutely,
do anything.
Yeah. It's really amazing. I'm still amazed at the job they did and taking that video, breaking down all those pictures, and coming up and identifying those two individuals, and it's pretty significant.
I think it was the Boston Bruins before the hockey game the other night when the guy started the national anthem and just stopped, and the crowd was as loud as I've ever heard a national anthem. It was very touching. And I thought the president, frankly, was terrific yesterday at the memorial service when he said, "We'll never quit. We'll never back down." It was very much a Winston Churchill kind of a thing. And it was inspiring. But that's who we are. I mean, we're not going to, you know, I said earlier, I said, you know what, they can kill us, but they won't make me afraid. I will not fear them. And that's their game, Mike. They just want to make you afraid.
Well, I agree with that, but I think this country is way beyond getting afraid of it. I mean, when something like this happens, it becomes it's not a fear thing anymore. It's getting these people, catching them and finding out. But I hope they catch this individual alive and find out if they can find out anything. What really? Maybe there's no answer. I don't know. Maybe, but what really motivated these individuals?
Like Steve said, you know, Mike, there's people from just about every country in the world. I don't know who you're just mad at people. I don't know what you're trying to do.
Well, yeah, what could be the point of nails and ball bearings and just total destruction? And I don't understand. I mean, you know, they say, well, our policies have killed our children. You deserve to die too. We've heard that. It's just devastating to hear these kinds of things.
Well, the point is, with the way the bombs were constructed, Steve, the point is very simple. They were going to hurt or maim as many people as they could when it exploded. And there were going to be some deaths, yes, but there was going to be loss of limb, loss of sight. You know, a lot of other things probably would come out of it. And they knew this going in. And then, you know, and so evidently they had been trained by somebody in this area to develop this type of weapon.
Well, I think you're right, Steve. They were probably trying to get even with somebody for something.
Yeah.
That's what they do. It doesn't make any sense. It isn't right, and it doesn't make anything right. But somebody just gets off. truck.
But
there you go.
If somebody in another country and you know there's a drone and it drops and it kills a family and children, I suppose you'd be pretty angry about that. It's just hard to kind of understand the adamant nature which these are carried out. And you're saying, how could you have a reason so strong to do what you did? I don't get it, and it's probably never something I would ever get, except to say they've been in war-torn areas, and something must have happened to make them want to come get America. I don't know. It's just, I guess it's just silly for me to try to understand it. I don't know.
To me, when you see that kind of pain and the innocent getting killed, I don't know why that would make you want to do that too. So you'd think that that's the one thing you'd want to stop anyone from ever doing. So
the one thing I don't know that we're assuming these are rational individuals, and I don't think they are. They might be calculating individuals, but they're rational. They're not. It's mind-boggling to think that this makes any sense to me.
Right. All right, it's Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. We get together Mondays and Fridays, 7:38 here on ESPN 93.5 and the new Sunny, 95.3. Longtime athlete and broadcaster Pat Summerall dies this week, and his former partner for 21 years, John Madden, had this to say this week.
At 5 o'clock, local...
I guess he broke his hip. Then they did a hip replacement, and then he was in therapy, and he had a heart attack during therapy. So yeah, I mean, a part of me did die. And Pat Summerall was John Wayne. You just think that he's had some problems. He's had some health problems, but it's John Wayne. It's Pat Summerall. No, he's not going to die. And then when he dies, it's a hell of a shock. Pat was the perfect partner. And not only a perfect partner for me, but for anyone. And think that we did it for 21 years. And we were partners for 21 years. And it was all because of him. He made it all possible. I mean, just the way he was, if you knew him, he would go in a broadcast booth with nothing. He didn't have any notes. He didn't have anything. He just let the game play out in front of him, and he broadcast it.
One letter addressed to President...
All right, there you go. Mike, did you know Pat Summerall?
Yeah, I did. I really did. And, they said his career stopped in 71. I played against the Giants in 61, and I know Pat played... I thought he played in the championship game in 63, too, but I guess I was wrong there. But I knew Pat very well. Just a great guy. I mean, he lived in Dallas for a while. He just a great... But I think he had... He and John Madden had so much to do with really the overall success of the NFL and the popularity through that period of time, the way they did the games. They were both terrific. They both added so much to the game. And, Pat was a guy that, he was not one of these announcers that ever put put anybody down and made anybody look bad. It was the way he did it was that he did everything with class and dignity.
I'll tell you, they were a great team. I remember during the strike years once, I was watching a game, and they were announcing it, Steve, and they're trying to talk about something because nobody knows these players. So Madden starts telestrating this tight end's socks that were falling down, saying, you got to watch your parents on the field. And the next play, the guy scores a touchdown, and Summerall says, and there he goes, socks and all. So they could make something out of nothing.
Yeah. Well, he was a man of few words. Aikman, touchdown. I mean, he didn't say a lot. He left the pictures. He was very good. He really was. And John Madden was terrific. He was the guy. And, boy, what a team.
Well, and the other thing, too, the play-by-play guy, his job is to set up the analyst. Nobody set up the analyst better than Pat did.
Yeah.
And that's why John was so good at what he did, because he really played to John. Do the analysis on what was going on. He just led him into everything, and that's what they are. They're set up guys to be analysts. That's what they should be doing.
Now,
if their job was to analyze, then that would be different. But Pat knew what his job was, and his job was to announce and set up John.
Yeah. Well, it's remarkable the way that all worked, because Pat Summerall do the game.
Yeah, didn't he do the Masters for a long time, too?
Yeah, did the Masters for a long, long time. Was terrific.
Oh, I thought when he did the Masters, it was tremendous.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If I remember correctly, yep. I thought that his approach was fantastic.
I think he and Ken Venturi did the Masters for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No question. Mm-hmm. They were terrific as well. But it was such an odd thing, Johnny, when Pat Summerall get done with the broadcast, he'd fly to the next city, and John Madden would get in his bus because of his fear of flying. So it would take him a week to get from the Jets game to the Giants game in San Francisco. It was just crazy, Mike. I can't believe that happened like that.
Well, they did a lot of games. You
know, there's a lot of people afraid of flying, but John took it to another dimension.
Yeah.
He made the bus famous.
Yeah.
I always say no one's really afraid of flying. They're afraid of crashing.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Well, we understand that. The takeoff's fine.
Yeah. It's Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka every Monday and Friday, 7:30 to 8 at the Quarter Tail. We'll take a quick break and be right back after this message. All right, if you're just waking up, we're talking with Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, as we always do Mondays and Fridays from 7:30 to 8, and there has been developments as terror grips Boston. One bomb suspect dead, another on the run.
At 5 o'clock local time last night, the first images of suspect number 1 and number 2 were made public. At 10:30 local time last night, there's a report of a robbery at a local convenience store. Police respond there, and after that, the story goes, an SUV, a Mercedes SUV, was hijacked, and when it was filling up for gas at a local gas station, the driver of the SUV escaped, but police got hot on the trail of suspect number 1 and suspect number 2. And from that point, there was a shootout with multiple rounds exchanged, possible grenades exchanged as well, and even the possibility of another pressure cooker bomb exploding in the streets of Watertown, Massachusetts.
Yeah, they threw another pressure cooker bomb 20 yards. It exploded, but they were throwing stuff at the police. I mean, it looks like they got the right guys.
Yeah, they might have got, that sounds like they were on the right there.
I mean, just again, hats off, as we said as we began our program, hats off to law enforcement, FBI, everybody involved. How do you shut down Boston, Mike? How do you shut it down? They've shut down Boston.
Well, they've done a pretty good job of it. I mean, and their whole concern really are the people and safety, and they're doing the right thing. But, I mean, it's a mind-boggling thing. You know, your mind and my mind, and God, we don't conceive how somebody could think this way and do what they did. So.
And what do you do, Mike? What do you do now? I mean, it's frustrating. Were you going to ban pressure cookers and nails now?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
There's nothing you
can do. No, I don't think it's that. I mean, I think, what are you going to do? You got two kids, college kids, with knapsacks on their back, watching the Boston Marathon. Hello? I mean, there probably could have been, 2,000 with knapsacks. You know, I mean, that's just the way that's where they carry their books. That's where they carry their supplies. So I think they fit right in, and they wouldn't appear one bit out of ordinary. And nobody, how would anybody have any idea? Nobody would be. I mean, it's just
You can unfortunately easily make these things if you go study it, because there's places to find instructions. Stevie, can do it with basically common things and set them off with a cell phone.
That's crazy. No, it's just unbelievable. I mean, this is very easy. I mean, sadly, on the Internet, they teach things like this. And, yes, you can. You can do this. And I guess the underlying thing here is you really can't stop this, right? I mean, you really can't. You go to a football game, basketball game, you're going to secure everybody and everything and every time? I mean, how do you do that?
I don't know. When you talk about a sporting event like the Super Bowl or any game, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to stop people from bringing certain things in, coolers or anything like that. I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't. But I'm sure the security is going to be heightened in all these sporting events. And in the 500, I mean, the same thing.
You know, Abraham Lincoln always used to say that if there's someone willing to give their life to kill him, there's not much anyone can do about it.
And
whether it's a suicide or not, you're going to get run down. But if you're willing to do that, it's difficult to stop random attacks.
Yeah. It's just part of the, I think 9/11 gave us that feeling that it's a changed world. We've got to deal with things, and we're not going to understand it all at all. All right, Stevie Williams, the caddy for Adam Scott, who won the Masters, came out yesterday. He was on some TV in New England, said Tiger should have been disqualified. Stevie, I wouldn't even bring it up anymore. I would just move on, Mike. I mean, it's over. Adam Scott wins the Masters. But why in the world would you even go and just say, you know what, I don't know all this stuff. I don't know. And just say, I don't know.
No, but it speaks to, you know, Stevie Williams is an unhappy individual. He's no longer caddying for the greatest golfer in the world. And in my opinion, anyways, and so far he's got a little bit of a, you know, and first of all, he's a loose cannon. Shut up. You know, your guy won the Masters. Adam Scott's a class guy, a wonderful guy. Don't diminish your the victory of Scott by your comments. And
it's not.
He should have been disqualified. He would have been disqualified.
Yeah. Exactly. It's not necessarily true either. He could say, if I was on the committee, I would have voted to disqualify.
Right.
That's fine. But the committee is the final arbiter in there. That's the rule. And they said he could play. It could be controversy, but he shouldn't have been qualified because they decided not to disqualify.
Well,
done.
And in this Stevie J school of responses, you know, as I get older, Johnny, I just think I know what you should say on all situations. Stevie Williams should have said, hey, Tiger's a great player. Looks like he's getting it back. I don't know all the situation. I'm just happy our guy won. I mean, that's what you
absolutely
move
absolutely
on. Come on. What are you doing? Yeah. This is crazy.
Well, that speaks to the smallness of Stevie Williams, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, man.
Obviously, he's a great caddy, I mean, right? I mean, he knows how to caddy.
Well, yeah, he must know what he's doing.
I haven't seen him hit a shot yet.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
Well, that's not his job, but I give him
credit.
Last
time, the caddy carries the bag. The golfer hits the shot. Come on. You may read a putt or two for him, but come on. The guy's still got to put a putt where you tell him to putt it.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get into how valuable caddies are. Carry the bag and shut up.
I've never met a caddy that couldn't beat me.
Well,
but whatever.
Yeah. All right. Well, the NBA playoffs are getting started. Mike, does anybody care till June?
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, you hope that somebody can compete against Miami, but I don't know that anybody can. I'll be honest with you. I guess anything can happen in basketball like it does in any other sport. But, you know, I look at a team like the Clippers. I like them. I look at a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder. I like them. I mean, there's some good teams out there. I mean, it's going to be interesting if you like NBA basketball to watch these playoffs go through the playoffs. It's going to be pretty interesting. And by the way, I want to say one thing. These guys are really talented.
Boy. I'll tell you, Mike, there's one thing about
what I did looks nothing like what these guys do.
What's different about the NBA, too, is they play those series. So in basketball,
exactly. Even though it's not one game.
It's not so much that anything can happen because, boy, that better team usually does wear down. There's upsets, but it's less likely than in the NCAA. Anything can happen in one game.
Yeah, it's phenomenal how good of athletes they are. It is fun to watch, but boy, I tell you what, talk about your long season, October to June. That's a long season, Mike.
That's a long season.
I'm already fired up in the New Orleans Saints Super Bowl March, Johnny. That's happening beginning this summer. Woo-hoo.
Well, at least our coach is back.
They released that schedule today for Monday night, and the whole schedule, actually, the Monday night and Thursday night. There's some very interesting games in there, and of course, the Saints have a few of them, and they rightly so because you know, when you got Sean Payton and you got Drew Brees, you got a football team that's going to be, you know, it's going to be a team to watch. That's for sure.
Yeah.
What do you think Rob Ryan's going to be like, Mike?
Well, Rob Ryan's a good coach. I mean, I think that you know, his style coaching is a lot like Buddy. And whether you like Buddy or didn't, Buddy was one hell of a coach, and he knew what he was doing, and he could get the best out of his players on defense now. I think the one thing you can't separate, you know, your offense and defense, it's a football team. So you've got to play, you know, you've got to make sure that you're playing for one team, not just for a defense or offense. But I think he's tremendously talented as a coach, and I think he'll do well.
That's new defensive coordinator, Rob Ryan. You think the Bears will be good with their new coach, Mike?
I think it's going to be a very interesting situation. I think they'll be better. I think the defense is pretty good. I don't think they'll play all the two coverage anymore. They'll play some of it. It won't be their trademark. I think offensively, Mark's a very good offensive coach. And if he can improve they need some help in the line, but if he can improve Cutler at all, they got a special player there.
Guys, we're going to leave it there. We'll call you on Monday. Cops around home in the hunt for Boston Bomber as they narrow in and squeeze in on the last guy they're looking for here. Johnny and Mike, thank you as always. God bless you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Mike.
Hi, yes. Thank you.
Catch you on Monday. Thank you. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, Monday.